Welcome to Natural Recovery from Suffering. This is Scott Killaby. There's a song from Benfolds 5 called Gracie. You'll see a side of me that no one else will ever see. Where he's writing about his little daughter, who's like a little toddler, and saying, you know, you're the only one that's going to see this. Nobody else. I'm not going to let anybody else in, Gracie. It hurts me when I hear that. Because I feel Ben as a hurt repressor, sadness repressor, but I don't know for sure. It's just the sense that I get. And that I feel that because, I feel that. Because I've always wanted to connect with hurt repressors. But like, it just feels like, it always felt like, well, why can't you show me that side? Like, I just want more of that side. And then, like, if you show some of it, I want more of it. Because it's really safe. You know, that side that you don't show others. If it was vulnerability. With people like that. Ben Folds, who can't, you can tell he can't open to that side. And yet, I bet he's with his girl and he's just loving her. And being silly and all kinds of sweet things. And that's how I am. With the people closest to me, even my partners, everyone close to me gets affection. And sees that side of me. That's why it makes me sad. Because when I was little, my dad used to cry and show hurt and be vulnerable. So men being vulnerable is just normal to me. But men being angry was scary. What I now know is, and this is weird to admit, but it's really true. When I would go into relationships with buried anger, it's like I was just going to be angry at people. You know, just picking people to be angry at, but then hide it. And feel rejected or afraid of that. And there I was just showing that vulnerability, that side that Ben can't show. I was just showing it, so that's the only thing I could show. And I now know the sabotage is like choosing men that I know won't love me back. And then just falling hard. That's a perfect recipe for pain. And then I got to feel all the hurt and the sadness and the I love you and you don't understand. And that feeling in your heart, you know, when you're an anger repressor and you have so much woundedness and hurt, but you don't know why. You don't know why you're identified with it. I didn't know why. I remember sitting with, and still to this day, I want to go talk to him and say, you know, that was my trauma. This was a really good friend in law school. And I just spent so much time with him and we became so close and I just loved him so much. I just thought he was the greatest thing because he made me laugh. He was like sweet at times, but all his you know, I kind of like have a sharp tongue and he had like a sharp, witty tongue sometimes. A sharp tongue when you get me going, but you don't really see it on here much. Well, ask Maryam though. But I just would... just fall for guys like that. He was an anger repressor, so he felt safe. And I thought that he was straight, heterosexual. I mean, I didn't really know. My trauma didn't care. I just fell in love with him. Come to find out, well, I won't say, because I haven't said his name, but I can say it then. Well, there was something that happened between us that was very intimate and well, I'm going to go into details, but so that was perfect for me because then he couldn't be with me, see? And then it's like you give me that much of you and then you take it away. And like that's the perfect like wounded victim, like, oh my God, this is going to hurt forever. And like on some level, it's like, I'm going to love it. But not at a level that I was really conscious of. I remember being in college and laying in bed and I know I told you guys about this and I would be, I never was dating. I couldn't open to men. It was 1988 and I'm at college. I'm 2 hours away from home and I'm gay and scared. And then like every other guy that walks by me, I'm just, you know, completely just like any guy that age would be for a girl. And yet I can't act it out anywhere. So I lay in bed at night and I just sit there and dream and fantasize like, oh, what if he and I got together and like, oh my God, we would be so, every day would be so great. We would just love each other, be so happy. And then I would like, I would imagine the scenarios in which we were arguing. And, but it was always safe kind of arguing, you know, it's like really dramatic, but it's also like we're about to break up and it's like, oh, and then I would feel that it's all a dream, like a waking dream before I go to bed. And I remember a few times going, oh God, it seems like I really like the pain part. What is that? And then I hadn't any, didn't have any consciousness around it. I just remember having that thought and then going back to my dramatic thing, the wounded, hurt, sad guy, gay guy, but trying to cover it up with intellect and being an attorney and all that stuff, eventually 12 step. Well, I left all that hurt, and I think it was the hurt that I thought led me to spirituality, but I know better now. It was exactly what the science says. It was not something that I felt. It was the emotional repression, buried anger that drove my addiction and my chronic pain and anxiety. I'm putting all that in a book that Toshi and I are writing called Awake But Sick, The Myth of Immediate Freedom and the Dangers of Spiritual Bypassing, where I talk about my personal story, the whole oneness experience and all of its glory, and then my body, what happened in my body and the repression. And then spelling out the bypass with a lot of science. But I felt that, I thought that was the hurt because that was what was conscious. You know, that's my suffering. If I could just get clean and sober, you know, 34 years old, maybe then the hurt will go away. Well, I also got into a relationship finally, and I think I was sabotaging that. I don't know about any of you, but where like you stunt your ability to get into a relationship because of trauma. And you fall in love, but you can't really do it. You sabotage it in some way. I kept picking men that wouldn't love me back and then rejecting men that were chasing me. But I think I found a different mistress in a way with spiritual seeking. Because with, or enlightenment or meditation, mindfulness, because I could just deal with the hurt finally. I had a way to deal with it, and I thought that was the answer. So I would just sit here, and if that's, I remember that was always what I was looking at, because I could feel that and sadness. And I thought, well, if this is it, if this is my suffering, that I feel hurt, and if I open to that fully, and then the identities that are seen with it, then that would be, that would embody the presence. I'd already recognized the presence at a certain point, started teaching. Every trigger I had, even though they were fewer and far between, farther between after the shift to presence in 2007, it was the same damn thing. It was just fewer and farther between of hurt. As I said, my first husband would say something and I would never get angry. I would never raise my voice or do anything like that. And I would be hurt, if anything. And I would sometimes express it, but I always look for situationally whether that's appropriate. You know, like if I didn't put the dishes in there correctly and he corrects me, I'm not going to say, that hurts. Because it's like, well, just put the dishes in there or argue about it or something. But I couldn't get angry. So I just go back into my room and I learn to process and just be with thoughts and feelings and feel the woundedness or the sense that there's something wrong. And then totally miss the buried anger. What I didn't understand back then is that temporary relief that I was getting from the hurt or the woundedness and the trigger was sending, training my system to create more falseness. Because I got some relief both by really identifying with something false first. Just being an ego, there's a payoff in the body. It's like, what keeps me safe if I can just be fake? And the buried emotions stay buried. I don't have to get angry, so I'll just be the good boy or the one who's wrong or hurt. vulnerable. Right. Vulnerable. But that's part of us. That's all. That was all of me, though. See, that's all I ever gave anyone. And then in my first marriage, I didn't even give it to my husband because most of our disputes were about things that he needed, you know, to have done a certain way. And it wasn't, it just wasn't appropriate for me to put my hurt on him, or I would have, because I know how to do it. But I did it. It's just that by that time I had gotten involved in spirituality and I was in a bypass. So it's like I was taking care of my hurt. I didn't need to open up to him about it. And that sent me into what I would call like an avoidant path right there. Is not understanding that not only the hurt needed to be expressed, but I needed, there was anger under that. And then I was using spirituality to basically just ride the wave of my trauma and call it awakeness, but it's like half-bakedness, you know, or half-awakeness, because the body keeps the score. Bottom line, it's like, Ben, I have a different experience than you. It's like I was always showing that side of me that got me love and approval. It was disarming to be that way always. In certain situations, to go in and be the humble one or the one that's really empathetic and understanding and good listener and never, ever upset, really. Or if I am, I'm not really angry. That was my ego. Driven by a rage, and you'll find it too, that whatever your ego is, it's there for a reason. Unprocessed emotion right under it. You can't feel it. It's the contraction in your body. And so whatever's in that contraction, I assume for Ben, it's this hurt that I could feel was in his, it's in his body. And he can't show it. He can't show anybody, but he shows it to Gracie. And for me, it was my anger buried. I never showed it to anyone except for like my first husband one day when I held it back and I didn't say anything about something. And then I continue not to say anything about something. And then something happened. And I'm like, ah, you know how that is. And then I'm like, well, that was weird. Sorry about that. Because even though there was the usual shame of getting really angry, there was extra shame because it was like, that is disproportionate to the situation. It's explosive because you held it in, Scott. And I just remember, I wasn't even doing anger repression work by then. That's just anger repression. So people think, well, here's the whole thing about this. You see, the people who get angry, they're identified. The people who stay angry are identified with it or afraid of it. So when you see people angry, that's not a problem. That's a natural emotion. What you want to watch out for is the identification with it for any of us, or the identification with hurt, though, because that has buried anger with it. Oh, some little noise outside there. Now, where's the deep hurt for me? See, so this is a question. If there was an identification with hurt, that was safer than buried anger. Where was the hurt from childhood for me? I found it, but I only found it through the anger repression. I want to say that to everyone who thinks that the core is just some hurt down there. It might be, but you got to find your way to it because we protect ourselves in different ways. And for those of us who are anger repressors, we're protecting, we're very afraid to get rejected again or humiliated, to feel that feeling again. And so it's our fear of anger that produces this falseness. This calcified anger inside produces this falseness at the surface. You know, the people pleasing or going along with and just being inauthentic. That's the ego. And it's like you might think that under any ego, there's just hurt, like just pain, as if like we're all just harboring unprocessed vulnerable emotions. Well, it depends on what you mean by vulnerable emotions, because anger repression is fear. It's one of the most vulnerable things ever. But you see, if you understand that, it's like the fear of your power. And then therefore you can't have safety within. You can't have something very vulnerable like safety within. And you can't feel love within. And then you go looking for it in other people. Of course you're going to get hurt. But then you can't get angry. You can't set boundaries. You can't then you just keep looking for love outside of yourself, not knowing that it's driven by the buried anger. And so if you get hurt, and you, like me, you can feel the hurt, you move on. And you think, well, I got hurt there, I'm going to go try again. But no, we're producing all of it. We're producing the identification with hurt. It's safer than anger for us. And then we got to get to the buried anger, and we go through those layers. We find the fear of being rejected again, of getting hurt again. That's a fear. And we protect ourselves from that by being afraid of anger, being so afraid of it, and afraid of being rejected and humiliated. There's our vulnerability. Because see, we can't get away, some of us, with just like crying all the time, because it's not that vulnerable for us. I'm telling you, we're afraid. That's our vulnerability. We're not just hurt. We're afraid. Do you feel that? That's real. The hurt is only real as a repression if it is. Like with Ben, if I were to go into Ben's body, it'd be like, he's afraid. But he's afraid of that hurt. I wasn't afraid of the hurt feeling. I was using that to manipulate men. Are you kidding me? I know better. But the real hurt was from childhood for me, when I was humiliated and hurt because I was so sensitive. I couldn't stand up for myself. I couldn't just be myself. And so with that hurt little vulnerable kid who was just powerless, I grew up into an adult who suffered. Look for anger repression as the root of your suffering, just in case. Don't fall for the cultural bias of thinking that anger is always over hurt. Sometimes hurt is over anger. It's identification. But then when we go deep, we all meet in like frozen fear. It was just the fear of being ourselves. And that's, we're universally, I think, the same in that way, the ego structure. I can't prove it, but I think trauma drives it all universally, and that we have ego consciousness because of survival, intergenerational trauma. And it just comes about through buried emotions and being false. Trying to get our needs met. Buried emotions, be false. Bury your emotions, be false. Get your needs met. Until you wake up, you realize all these emotions can be allowed. You can't meet your needs outside of yourself. You find safety and love within. And that's real. I didn't think it was either until I just started. I mean, Serena started sharing it that way. And it's definitely true. It's good language. Because we need that. If you listen to her podcast that came out where she talks about the domestic abuse that she encountered as a kid, that is a really good example of how a child, their powerlessness from buried anger creates such turmoil in an adult life, and it's so hard to discover it. And it wasn't just, like for her, it wasn't just anger either. For me, there are definitely other emotions there. And I can't speak for her, but a lot of us here are people who could feel and express, or at least feel hurt, sad, wounded as anger repressors. And that we discover something very deep here, which is that our real vulnerability comes through the work with anger repression, because that's our fear. Think about what vulnerability is. It's like, can you share the thing that's most scary for you? People think, oh, you mean my hurt? No. Can you share the thing that's most scary for you? Can you trust yourself and find out what that is first, see, before you go from your mind? Your body will tell you if you have skill. That's what we have to do here. It's like we get to a second core fear beyond just feeling and expressing what's buried. And we add this in, which is like this fear of getting hurt or rejected again, humiliated by others, or losing people. And then that too has this real vulnerability with it. And so I think people sometimes miss the point of vulnerability. It comes through frozen fear, thawing it out, discovering authenticity and a natural vulnerability, because you have your power too. You can get angry, you can cry, you can be afraid. All of those things are okay, but you're empowered in your consciousness. You're not identified anymore. Those emotions are okay, but you don't identify with them nearly as much or at all as you do repression work. And this is why I've been saying online, which I know people I don't know. People have said, well, I don't understand it, but it feels true. I said, I'm a teacher of enlightenment, which is so stupid to say. But I just had to be like a little bit pompous because just to see, it's like it's so such a dumb term. I'm a teacher of enlightenment. And if you, I don't think enlightenment, I didn't say it word for word like this, but if you see me online, you can expect that I'll share an emotion with you. And if you think that's inappropriate, I'll share another one with you. Because enlightenment isn't about having no emotions. That's emotional repression. And the point I'm trying to do is to shift it, you know? Shift the culture out of repression, the healing and awakening culture. You can't shift them out of repression, but you can point to it and say, that doesn't make any sense if you look. You can't allow it all in our experience if that's the way, if we bury some things. And that was my whole life. I couldn't allow it all. I came to spirituality. They told me to allow it all. So I sat there allowing the hurt over and over, not knowing it was created by anger that was buried, which I never felt. So if you guys are out there looking for buried anger, you won't find it. It's buried. It's creating suffering at the surface, or buried hurt. So when I thought about Ben, I go back and forth here, but Ben Folds Five, because he's like my little companion in music. I just listen to him a lot. And his melodies are great. But when I think about him, because he's had like five wives, and I'm thinking, well, okay, I don't know if he's a hurt or sadness repressor, but you know, maybe he's angry. and then they get to know him. This is just very typical. And then like he can't show that vulnerable side, but except to Gracie. I'm sorry, Ben, if that's not what happened. But this is the stuff I see every day. So it's safe to assume that he's probably one of us. He has trauma too. And if you can see that, then we just all have different experiences. I told you I've lived with somebody who had a very different experience than me. So it's like my perfect shadow. He had everything that I thought that I didn't have or that I couldn't allow myself to have. Like power, anger, boundaries. It's not, he didn't have boundaries, but he had the capacity to just say this or that at times. And I couldn't do that. And I just noticed how quiet I was compared to him. And I thought, well, that's probably the spiritual work. I'm probably just enlightened or something. I didn't really. I mean, I did, but I didn't think it that consciously. It's just like, you know how you are. It's like, well, have you ever seen this before? If you're in a relationship with somebody who gets angry a lot, it's easy to be the good one. If you have buried anger, you don't know maybe why, but it's like, God, they just got to get their shit together. If he would just get his shit together. I used to think that in the beginning because I didn't want to come out of anger repression. I just sat there and was watching him be angry from time to time and it'd be like, and of course I would go quiet in my shutdown. And then after he would be done and I would kind of thaw out without processing my buried anger, I would come back and kind of have these thoughts like, well, maybe he needs to just do the inquiries or something, which I, not repression inquiry though, because we hadn't developed it, but just something, you know, because he's angry. And that's the problem. If he would just not be so angry, I think I even said that to him. Like, but you're angry. Your anger just comes out of nowhere. And it's true. So I was speaking up about it, but it's like a scapegoat because here I was in chronic pain. I was the shadow of him. There's still separation in that. To be afraid of my own anger, not know that that's what it is, and then there he is as a shadow. See, I chose him. So for me to say, well, you're angry, well, I chose him. My consciousness chose him. And then my consciousness was resisting what it chose. You know, there's your shadow, but you're it's not safe. So let's keep him at a distance and just say he needs help of some kind. Because I'm awake, see. That's the problem with the enlightened identity. or the non-dual teacher identity, because you do have a profound shift. I mean, look, I'm not lying. It's a profound shift. But if there's repression, there's repression. It's just buried. It's just hard to explain. People have asked me about that. How can you have buried emotions with awareness? I'm like, it's buried. It doesn't come into awareness. It's what we call sensation. You know, when I think about it, I don't really suffer at all. I don't feel, I mean, I have a lot of energy. I had a lot of repression and all my emotions are here. And so what that means is just like vibrancy, mostly. But I don't suffer at all. But it's just vibrancy. My experience feels that way, like alive. And I think for me, when I look back at my experience with all that hurt and where, and then all the contraction and pain, now I understand where the vibrancy comes from, the life force, because we're holding it all back. And even though I could feel the hurt and express it, that's still holding myself back, because you're not just hurt. It's like anger hurt in a relationship. It's not just hurt. It's not just anger. But because of repression, we can only show one. Because if I show the anger, then I can't get love if I'm an anger repressor. But if I show the hurt, then I can't get love if I'm a hurt repressor, because of how, you know, we're conditioned. If I repress all of them, I can't really express emotion and get love. But I still need love because I have repression. Because repression makes us need love from people instead of be love, and need people to not express emotions because we can't express those emotions. So it's like needing people to keep us safe because we can't find safety within. And the embodiment is the finding safety and love within. That feels pretty complete. Let's see what time it is. Wow, 27 minutes. That's 3 minutes before the 30 mark. I want to thank everybody who's been listening just the last few minutes here. I do appreciate you all. I'm glad that there is some audience here for the work, enough to like keep the momentum going. There's a lot of cool things happening in 2025. So what I'm doing is inviting people in these comments, whenever I mention this, to list modalities, teachers, therapists, people, influencers, authors, your next door neighbor who has some like connection to KI in some way. Maybe they do really deep somatic work. Maybe they've worked with repression. Maybe they're just a match for a different reason. Like I like people like Anna Lemke and Donald Hoffman. So there's just a lot of people out there that I want to partner with. If you can think of anybody that you never hear me mention, please write it in the comments. And this is a year of partners. So I'm going to invite you guys to, as always, think about coming into my KI Jumpstart group, which starts February 1st. Yes, February 1st. Well, it starts the first of every month. It's a Jumpstart group where I teach people the work in a one-month mentorship program. So I'm there with you every week for a month. And you'll see what I mean. It's in an app where we can talk to each other and you can hear me. And we have meetings. And then there's the one-on-one 90-day intensive. And if you're interested in that, click on the link in the description for that also. And you can come and talk to me for free about that. But below that, I'm going to put a link to a particular blog I wrote. I'm spreading the blogs around when they're relevant. The one that I want to do here is, gosh, I don't know if it's totally relevant. Yeah, it is. I'm going to put a link to a blog that's really short that I want you guys to read. And what I did is I kind of just said, if I were to write out how we suffer from the unconscious, could I do it in a fairly short writing? And I did. And I want to send you that link if you want to read it from the Medium. It's a blog called Guide to Happiness and Authenticity in Relationships. Thank you.